following sermon is part of the series Christ versus the Powers of Evil, delivered by Dr. David Palmer in the spring of 2016. Here's Dr. Palmer.
The sermon this morning is a continuation of a sermon series entitled Christ versus the Powers of Evil. Let's begin with a moment of prayer. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. In the gospel passage we heard a few moments ago from John chapter 8, Jesus is talking to his opponents who deny that he is from God. And Jesus says they do not recognize the truth of Jesus because they are under the influence of Satan. And concerning the devil, Jesus says he is a liar and the father of lies. We talked previously in the sermon series about how people through the ages have conceived of the powers of evil in the world and have done so in different ways. In ancient times, people generally thought of the dark powers in the world as personal spiritual entities. So they spoke of demons and the prince of all evil, the devil. When Jesus spoke to first century people, he talked to them naturally in their language and using their concepts. And so he used the terminology of demons and the devil as he spoke to them about the powers of evil in the world. But this leaves open the question as to whether we are supposed to carry forward those first century concepts about demons and the devil into today. Modern theologians still often talk about demonic powers in the world, but they generally understand those powers not so much in the first century fashion, but rather as impersonal forces of evil that arise out of human sinfulness. So when it comes to the figure of Satan, there are two basic ways in which Christians today will typically conceive of Satan. Some think of Satan as a personal being, actively at work for ill. Others think of the devil as a symbol for the whole overarching power of evil. But however you choose to think of the devil, there are two central spiritual truths to which Jesus gives expression in this passage. The first is a principle that has been our focus over the past two sermons in this series, that there are powers of evil at work in the world. Evil is not just an idea or a judgment that we make about things. Evil is a force that can take hold in people. When Jesus says to his opponents, "You belong to your father, the devil," he is saying that they are in the grip of a power of evil. The second major principle expressed by Jesus has to do with how the power of evil works, that evil is advanced and sustained through lies. As Jesus said concerning the devil, he is a liar and the father of lies. We can see this principle at work throughout human history. Some of the greatest evils in history have been facilitated by great lies. Think, for example, of Nazi Germany or the Soviet Union. The tremendous evil of those regimes was facilitated by the enormous use of propaganda. German and Soviet citizens were fed a huge dose of lies in order to keep them in line with the regime. Everyone in the Soviet Union, for example, was told that they were living in a wonderfully democratic, peace-loving workers' paradise. When the Soviet Union finally fell apart in 1991, there were a number of contributing factors, but certainly one key element was the rise of the information age. More and more Soviet citizens became aware of the real truth of their circumstances and could no longer tolerate them. As Jesus said, "The truth will set you free." The conjunction of evil and lies continues to be seen today in a particularly glaring fashion in radical Islamist terrorism. The belief system of radical Islamism is a virtual web of huge lies. But of course, lies only have an effect if they do not appear to be lies, at least to the willing hearer. Lies must masquerade as the truth. This, of course, is exactly what we see in radical Islamism, which pretends to be religious truth. Thus, a major theme in the New Testament is the problem of spiritual deception, that people can be led seriously astray in life through lies, particularly lies purporting to be religious truth. Jesus warned that false messiahs and false prophets will appear and perform signs and wonders to deceive. Paul, in one of his letters, wrote, "There are many rebellious people full of meaningless talk and deception." Peter, in the passage we heard earlier, warned, "There will be false teachers among you. They will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the sovereign Lord. Many will follow their depraved conduct. In their greed, these teachers will exploit you with fabrications." That applies almost word for word to radical Islamist terrorism. Finally, the Apostle John, in the passage we heard, said, "Many deceivers who do not acknowledge Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh have gone out into the world. Any such person is the deceiver and the antichrist. Watch out that you do not lose what you have worked for, but that you may be rewarded fully." This last passage presents the interesting term antichrist. The word appears in the Bible only in the letters of John, in this passage and in the first letter of John, where he says, "Many antichrists have come." In recent decades, a popular idea promoted often in fundamentalist churches has been the notion that there will be one end times antichrist who will deceive the whole world. But this clearly is not what the Bible says. The biblical teaching is that there are many antichrists all over the place all the time. An antichrist, quite simply, is someone who claims to have the truth, as Christ is the truth, but who in fact moves contrary to Christ and proclaims falsehood. It is what Jesus was talking about when he warned of false messiahs and false prophets and said there would be many of them. And Peter carried the idea forward when he spoke of false teachers among you. Along this line, John uses the term antichrist and the term deceiver as meaning the same thing, and says, "Many deceivers have gone out into the world." Certainly, we encounter deceivers of various sorts all the time, in the business world, in the political realm, even in the sports world. When we think of deception, sometimes we think of it essentially as trickery. Someone is trying to pull a fast one on us. I heard one time of a store in New York City that had a sign in the window that said, "Going out of business sale." And underneath that it said, "Don't be fooled by imitators who claim to be going out of business. We have been going out of business for longer than anyone on this block." Well, if deception is trickery, then the answer is just to be smart enough not to be fooled by anyone. But the more serious form of deception appeals not so much to the mind, but to the heart. In the Bible, the first story about deception is the story of Adam and Eve in the garden, where the serpent says, "If you eat the fruit of this tree, you will become like God." The deception plays to the human desire for self-exaltation. Political demagogues take the same sort of approach, playing to people's desire for power or revenge, and we see very much the same thing in religious deceivers. When we look at the so-called Islamic State, the deceivers who are running it are attracting followers to their lies precisely because they are appealing to base human desires. To young Muslims who are struggling with frustration and anger and who cannot see any positive future, the Islamic State says, here is the way to power and pleasure and vengeance and everything you always wanted. This explains how people who seem to be intelligent, people who've been studying in college, or people who had a responsible job, can end up in a religious cult like this that proclaims ideas that seem to us to be so obviously stupid and wrong. People do not join the Islamic State because of the brilliance of its principles or its shining values. People join the Islamic State because it appeals to their deep inner yearnings, or to put it simply, the Islamic State appeals directly to human sin. It is in sin that people desire power and revenge and domination over others, and the Islamic State offers all that to the fullest. Indeed, as we've seen so often in the past months, the Islamic State appeals to the very worst of human impulses, the desire to chop off the heads of one's enemies or to blow up the monuments of the people one despises or to make sex slaves out of foreigners. But in the deception that is at the heart of Islamic State teaching, those human sinful impulses are redefined as religious virtues. It is this kind of profound spiritual twisting that the Apostle Paul talked about in his letter to the Romans, when he said, they exchanged the truth about God for a lie, worshiping the creature rather than the creator. They have gone over to a depraved mind, doing what ought not to be done, becoming filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, and depravity. But the depravity that we see in radical Islamist terrorism is so outrageous, it can perhaps dull our senses to how spiritual deception can also affect us in other ways. In our modern secular society, deception more often comes at us in a subtle fashion, but it still works, not so much by attacking the mind, but attacking the heart. Some forms of deception appeal to our self-centered impulses. The materialism of our culture, for example, appeals constantly to our human desire for more. We are told that if we just had more of this or more of that, we'd be happy. And thus people are deceived into thinking that they will find fulfillment through endless grasping after more stuff or more status or more experiences or more something. Other forms of deception work on our human doubts and fears. We can be drawn into doubting God and feeling that we are just alone in this world. In various ways, we can fall prey to lies. John was correct. Many deceivers have gone out into the world. The answer to every form of deception is Jesus Christ. As Jesus himself said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. It is in Jesus that we see clearly what is true. And Jesus provides not only an enlightenment of the mind, but even more crucially, an enlightenment of the heart. Since deception, as we've noted, works on weaknesses in the human spirit, the answer is to be found in spiritual renewal, and this is precisely what Jesus Christ brings. Christ comes to us with forgiveness and uplifting power and enables us finally to live in the truth and the goodness and the promises of God. When we put our faith in Christ, we can stand firm against all the lies in the world around us. And as we do so, evil loses its power over us. Martin Luther put it well, though this world with devils filled should threaten to undo us, we will not fear, for God hath willed his truth to triumph through us. Let us pray. O Lord, we live in a world swirling with lies and deception, filled with so many kinds of evil and wrong. There is so much that would tear us down and that would draw us on the wrong track in life. Move us, O Lord, to lift our vision to you, to see your truth, and to open our minds and our hearts to how your Spirit would work in us. Free us, O Lord, from all that would pull us astray and tear us down. Move us, Lord, to be able to stand firm in you, be filled with the cleansing and renewing and uplifting power of your Spirit, that, Lord, we can stand firm in your truth and your grace. We can resist all those negative forces that would tear at us in life. And instead, Lord, we can proclaim your truth and show forth your values and your goodness in our lives. Lord, you are here to work in us today. Fill us, Lord, with the power of your Spirit, that, Lord, we can grow as your people, and we can share together in being in mission then to the world. Lord, the world around us is in full of so much trouble. We see people close at hand who are in times of challenge. We do pray for those who are sick. Lord, we know that we are always connected in your Spirit. We thank you for how we are connected with members of this church and members beyond us. We lift up this morning our fellow United Methodists at the Akron Hope United Methodist Church. Lead us, Lord, in our world full of deception, full of falsehood, to be persons who would show forth your truth, who show forth in a world of evil your love and your goodness, who are instruments for transformation, who can work for goodness and peace. Lead us, O Lord, as we would open ourselves truly today to the power of your Spirit, and as we share then in your good works and lift to you the praise. In the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior, we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this edition of the United Methodist Church of Kent Sermon Podcast. For more information about the church and to read Dr. Palmer's notes from the pastor blog with more about today's topic, visit www.kentmethodist.org.